Let us open in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor. And we give you glory. We are grateful for this evening. We are grateful for the grace that you have granted us from Monday all the way through to Tuesday, Wednesday. And we believe that you will do even more on a day like this one. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So yesterday, like over the last 2 days, over the last 3 days, we've had a very, very interesting time. And I don't know what it's been like for you. I know every revival seminar has got its punch. Every revival seminar has got a session, which is the favorite. You know, for many people, others, you know, when I ask and I do an evaluation, some will say, you know, for me, night one did it for me. Others will say, well, for me, night two did it for me. Others will say, for me, night three. Others, night four. Others will say, you know, the fifth night. So everyone has got a personal favorite. Even I, from the teaching side, I also have like what I feel is like a personal favorite for me. Okay, even for me, I usually feel like I have a personal favorite. And I've realized that sometimes my favorite session is not necessarily the session that everybody resonates to. Sometimes I feel like maybe the session I really loved, sometimes I had too many notes even. I feel like this one is the one. This one, I know they'll love it. I prepared notes. I added a lot. Sometimes they're like, yeah, it was okay. We wrote some good notes and it was fun. But for me, the one that I loved is this one. And sometimes those are the nights I don't have notes. I just like step in and, you know, I know I'm mature. I would be saying, yeah, well, you can share this at the time notes. You know, well, like in the way I am, maybe just for the matures, because sometimes I'm mature going like, so this, I know I'm not solo in Shifa Tureli Pila. Sometimes, majority of here's how I operate. I read a lot, you know, I read a lot. And the reason why I read a lot is because the way in which the Holy Spirit uses me under the teaching anointing is that when the teaching anointing rests on me, the teaching anointing begins to pull out things I've already read. So sometimes I'm reading and I feel like nothing is happening. I'm just reading and I feel like nothing is happening. I'm just reading and I feel like nothing is happening. And then that teaching anointing will begin to pull out things that are already in my spirit. Okay, so that is a bit of how I work. So everyone usually has a personal favorite. Sometimes the session I feel like, that was terrible. It wasn't so good. I find people resonating with some of those, you know. I find people resonating with some of those. And it's the doings of God. And I think this is part of what I refer to as the ministry of the Holy Spirit, okay? The ministry of the Holy Spirit. So you see, like, even in the comment section or in the in-call messages, some people are saying day one. Some are saying night three. Some are saying night two. So everyone has a personal favorite. And I believe it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I think the Holy Spirit ministers to us based on what we need. You know, he speaks beyond what are in your notes, okay? The Holy Spirit, you know, will communicate beyond what is in the notes. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit. He does beyond what is in the notes. So that is why we have what we refer to as the synoptic gospels, okay? The synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, okay? Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Those are the synoptic gospels. They are similar, however, they are different. So when you read an account of healing, maybe from Matthew's account, you would discover that the account of healing is different from Luke's account, okay? Because all of them were having the Holy Spirit minister to them differently, but also they were filtering the information through their lives, okay? So you find that Dr. Luke documents issues to deal with healings quite well because he's a doctor. So there's a little more detail, there's a little more punch when Dr. Luke is addressing the issues dealing with healing, Okay. However, when you see Matthew address the miracles, there's numbers involved most of the times. You know, he'll give the details because he's a tax collector. So the numbers side of him is very, very strong. Okay. So there is that aspect of life with having to deal with different types of people. Okay. Having to deal with different types of people. So you have to understand that many people, okay, many people are processing information differently. So in the same meeting, I may be teaching on portals. Okay, others are thinking of portals in light of ministry. Others are saying, well, I am going to become a powerful man of God in this generation. I'm going to be a living portal. Okay, and I'm going to stir up, you know, moves of God by being a living portal like we looked at yesterday. However, the others are also looking at it in light of family. Okay, others are looking at it in light of family because that is where they filter information from. Now, anyway, before we go into experiencing the supernatural, which is more of preparatory for tomorrow, but then before we go into experiencing the supernatural, I want to talk about, you know, three things which are similar to like altars, but I want to talk about three things that open portals, because I think someone asked, okay, I don't know if it was in the group, I don't know, but someone had asked the question, how do you open a portal? Okay, how do you open portals? I don't know where someone asked, but I'll give you 3 points on how you can actually open a portal, and then I'll move to the teaching for the night and then conclude. So we'll have an early night today. I don't know what Ramachua think about that one, but we will have an early night tonight. Okay, so the three ways in which you open portals. Number one, dedication. Okay, great. Dedication. The first way in which you open or unlock a portal is by a principle called dedication. What is dedication? Okay, dedication is when we decide to consecrate a place, an activity, or an institution, okay, unto a spirit. So the spirit of whom you are dedicating the thing to is the spirit that will be in charge of the portal that will open. So dedication becomes key and becomes very, very powerful. And I remember I taught the church on the power of dedication and why it is important to dedicate things unto the Lord. And I've seen many people's businesses thrive. I've seen many people's, you know, companies or whatever it is that they are doing, offices thrive, you know, because of the dedication. I remember I went and I dedicated about, in a day, I remember that time I dedicated about four shops and one home, okay, by one person. And they've seen the mighty hand of the Lord on the account of that dedication, at least from the minute testimony I've heard. And I was teaching on dedication and how it's just powerful, you know, because the children of God don't understand the power of dedication. Many times, you know, the children of God don't dedicate their things. For most part, you know, how we run is that we just do things anyhow. Meanwhile, you know, the children in darkness make sure before they begin anything, it is dedicated unto a deity. And that is why when people go into the marketplace, their businesses are not thriving. Because what you feel is that you're just in the marketplace and you just feel I'm there just to sell. And everybody's just there to sell. Meanwhile, other people are using supernatural power. Okay, whether in light or in darkness, we don't know. But many people are using supernatural power to conduct their activity. And they dedicate their businesses unto a deity. Meanwhile, the children of God just step in and say, oh no, we have started a business. And they wonder why people are not buying from their business, because they don't understand the power of dedication. So over you know, the last few weeks that I've taught this message, I've dedicated many places. Today I was dedicating a booth, you know, an Airtel booth in the morning, and I was so glad to dedicate it, because usually those are the ones that usually have a lot of demonic attack. You just find floaty asova, kayashani asova. So I went, prayed over it, poured the anointing oil, and dedicated it unto the Lord to create a supernatural opening into the place. So it's very, very important that you understand the principle of dedication over things that pertain unto you, pertain unto your life, pertain unto your ministry. Okay, Pastor, okay, I don't know if asking me questions will make it good. When you buy a car, okay, but for your sake, when you buy a car or when you get married, the family applies these things on your car. Are they dedicating your marriage or your car or whatever blessing it is to their family deities? I don't know. I don't know. We don't do that here. I don't know what ovoya means, but maybe someone should explain it to me in a Zambian context. But when you buy a car, what do people apply? I don't know. I've bought cars. I don't know if people have applied certain things. My wife is in the meeting. Maybe she should tell me if some people apply things to her car. So, yeah. I don't know. The family applies these things. You can unmute your microphone. You might as well unmute it and explain. It's a powder. Oh, okay. No, we don't do that for the cars. Only the, is it the politicians? How do they do it? I don't know. I don't know how they do it. I saw this in my home. In my home village. Gracious, they did that on the car. They put the powder on the car. Okay. It's in oil. Their witchcraft. They applied on my car. Oh, they applied powder on your car. Okay, I'll address that issue tomorrow. I'll address that issue tomorrow. They apply on you too when getting married. Dedication is putting anointing oil. Oh my. No, not entirely. It's the anointing oil could be part of what you are doing in the dedication process. However, it's not entirely that you have to use the anointing, because remember, the anointing is just a symbol, okay, an emblem of sorts. So it's not really the Holy Spirit. It's just a symbol, okay? There are what we call symbols of the Holy Spirit. There's wind, there's water, there is the oil. What else is there? There are many emblems, and I remember we did a Bible study on it in Chilanga, okay? So anyway, Roma, she said powder, not power, powder, okay? And during elections. Okay, let's go to the dedication stuff. How to open portals. So number one, by dedication, you must dedicate something unto the Lord. So sometimes if you want to create an opening unto the Lord, practical, I don't want to make it very complex so that you are lost still. Here's how I'll do it. For example, if I want to ensure that there is an opening, okay? There is an open portal within a house. If I step into that house, one of the first things I'll do is I'll dedicate it unto the Lord. I'll pray, I'll make declarations, I'll speak that every activity that may have happened before I came in is now declared now and void. I'll pray that there's a new order established. I'll pray that, you know, God has permission to find expression in the house. You know, I'll pray that the heavens would open. Okay, and then I'll dedicate it to the Lord, and I'll say, I dedicate this house to the Lord. If I have some oil, I'll pour some oil. On other days, I may even take communion after I pour the oil. Okay, that's what I refer to as dedication. Okay, institutions are dedicated. People are also dedicated and consecrated. That is why you will find that you can't anoint yourself in ministry, for example, okay? You know, for those that are in full-time ministry, you find that you'll be consecrated, you'll be dedicated, okay? And they will anoint you into a particular office. They'll say, okay, now you're an apostle, now you're a pastor, okay? That is part of the package. It's very, very important, Okay, so that's the dedication process, whether you're doing a geographical portal or whether you are doing a time or seasonal portal. Okay, so if you're doing a time or seasonal portal, you might as well make a dedication and say, Lord, I'm dedicating this day unto you. Okay, or I'll dedicate this day of the year unto you, or I'll dedicate this season unto you. Okay, I believe that you would do mighty works every year on this particular day. Okay, so that's the dedicational part. Okay, then the second part is what I refer to as repetitive activity. So every portal requires repetitive activity for it to be sustained and for it to continually remain open. So the reason why it opened is because there was an activity that was happening in an environment. So the activity is happening in an environment and it occasions the opening of a portal. Okay, so repetitive activity. So for Lombe, who's asking, how do I dedicate my academics unto the Lord? Practical. I'll stop responding to questions, but maybe this will be the last one I'll respond to. Okay, unless otherwise, anyway. So for your academics, one of the things you could do is you could decide to, firstly, in your dedication, you commit your academics unto the Lord, and you can say, Lord, before I study, I'm giving you 15 minutes or 20 minutes of prayer. I will never start my study sessions minus doing that. Okay, I will never. So that's you dedicating. Remember, God is a God of covenant, and so he works on covenants. Okay, and the amazing part is that, you know, most of the times, because he never fails on his end of the bargain or on his end of the equation. So usually the challenge is on our end of the equation. Ekubama problem sana. So he's so amazing that he also helps you keep your end of the bargain if you ask him for grace to maintain the covenant. So one of the things you say is, Lord, I'm giving you every 15 minutes before I study, I'll pray in tongues. I'll just pray in tongues, then I'll begin to study. Or I'll just praise, I'll just do some praise, and I'll begin my day. For me, one of my covenants whilst I was in school was that I said, I'll give the Lord an hour every morning before I go to study. Now, you know, when you're in school, sometimes when you do an hour, then I remember I pushed it to two. So I'd wake up early in the morning at 5, go and pray up until 7, take a shower, then go to class. Okay. But I realized that sometimes when everything is heightened and school gets very busy, giving the Lord 2 hours the first thing in the morning or 1 hour feels very, very difficult. Okay. It feels very, very, very difficult, very, very complex to actually do. But that's your dedication unto the Lord. Now, in your dedication, you're saying, Lord, I'm dedicating this activity unto you, and my expectations are this. I'm dedicating this. I'm believing God. I'm believing you for this, and I'm making this dedication. The same is true with businesses where people decide to covenant their businesses, okay, covenant their finances. Say, Lord, I'm covenanting my business as a dedication. You know, I want an open window, okay, of provision, because remember, one of the portals is a window. So I want an open window of provision. So I'm dedicating, I'm making a dedication by saying that of every profit that I will get, okay, after I've tithed, I will always get a certain amount, whether it's percentage, whatever it is, and I will sow it as a seed into maybe a church project, a man of God, whatever it is. So that's a person covenanting their business, okay? They have made a dedication. Then the second part is what we refer to as repetitive activity. So that's on the dedication. So repetitive activity is that you continually do that thing of which, you know, you have started. So, you know, repetitive activity. Portals are created by repetitive activity. Even portals in darkness, they are equally created by repetitive activity. When you do something repetitively, it creates an opening into the heavens, an opening into the spirit, because repetitive activity always summons a spirit, in case you didn't know. Anything you do repetitively will summon a spirit. Anything you do again and again will summon the spirit that, you know, sponsors or empowers that behavior. So if someone, for example, started, this is day two and my energy is just like crushed. I'm wondering where we are going with this fast. So take for example, okay, take for example, someone just starts, okay, all they started with was typically just gratifying masturbation, maybe every now and then. They do it today after a few weeks, not that that is any good anyway. They do it today, after 3 weeks they do it again. Now before you know it, they begin to do it again and again and again and again, and all of the sudden it's no longer just masturbation that is an occasional activity that they are doing. They have now summoned the spirit of lust. So the way in which we summon spirits, okay, or the way in which we attract spirits is by repetitive activity. Whether in light or in darkness, you attract spirits by repetitive activity, because repetitive activity is an invitation. That is how you will find that certain men have become men of the presence. Why have they become men of the presence? Because of the repetitive activity of prayer. So you find that they begin to summon the presence. The presence is attracted to them. Okay, I've always shared that the presence of the Lord moves, you know, because of different reasons. One of the reasons is that you can go to a meeting and the expectation is high, so the presence of the Lord moves. The second way in which the presence of the Lord may also move is when the presence of the Lord knows you. Okay, and the only way the presence of the Lord knows you is by repetitively engaging it. What you constantly engage starts to engage you. So it's very, very important that you understand that when you do something repetitively, it summons the spirit. That is how some of you have found yourself in a place where, for those of you that are in camp, some of you have found yourself in a place where you are no longer satisfied with eating. Okay, you don't want to eat anymore. You don't want to eat anymore. You don't want to eat anymore. You're wondering why you don't want to eat anymore. The times you were doing those 21-day fasts, 4 days, back to back, 3 days, you rest 2 days, you go back 4 days. What you did is that you were summoning, okay, that activity, the spirit of supplication, the spirit of prayer, consecration. So that spirit has come around you in light. And then you find yourself in a place where food doesn't make sense. If you eat for 2 days, you start to think, why am I eating like this? Why am I? Meanwhile, you discover that before you started doing those things, your normal lifestyle was breakfast, lunch, supper, and in between meals. But now you discover that eating 3 days starts to feel like a sin, because you consistently engage a reality to the point that the spirit that governs that reality is now attracted around you. That is how people, you know, literally begin to embody lust. The lustful spirit is embodied around them. Like I was saying yesterday, they don't need to dress a certain way. They don't need to dress suggestively. They have entertained lustful spirits so much in a repetitive sense that when you come around them, they carry the aura of that lustful spirit, that everyone that comes into contact with them is invited to the place of worship on that altar of that lustful spirit. So you'll find that there are certain people, they are not dressed in a certain way, but you can tell there's an aura, there's a breath of lust. It's like you can smell it, you can pick it. All of the sudden you begin to feel things you were not supposed to feel. They're not dressed in anything suggestive. They just carry it as an aura. That happens because of repetitive activity. I've met many people like that. And this is how I know how to minister deliverance to some people, or counsel some people, because I can pick it, you know, and especially when I'm fasting quite a lot, my spiritual sensitivity is high. So I can know if you entertain lustful spirits, because you carry it as an aura, okay? due to repetitive activity. Sometimes I'll just start talking about pornography. Someone came, and what they came for is, how do I expand my business? All of the sudden, I begin to talk, and my speech is, you know, this is how you deal with pornography. This is how you deal with masturbation. This is how you deal with this. This is how you deal with the lust of the flesh. I go to Galatians 5. The fruit of the spirit is blah, blah. I'm addressing those issues because I have picked the aura around you. When I look at you, there is nothing, because, you know, to the pure, all things are pure. When I look at you, there is nothing suggesting anything. There is nothing that is revealing in your dressing. You know, that is why when it comes to, and I know Mrs. C has really taught so well on this issue to deal with dressing and all, and how that sometimes this dressing thing has got a way in which, you know, it portrays an image that is not consistent with who you are. But as much as you dress well physically, you should also dress well spiritually, because some people are dressing well physically, but because they entertain lustful spirits, they are clothed with a garment. Okay, today I was almost tempted to teach on garments in the spirit, okay? The garments of praise, the garment of fire, the garment of glory. I have worn many of these garments. You know, Iakwa David came as I was wearing that garment of praise. So I wish I could teach on garments. So some people are wearing that as a garment. They carry it as an aura. You come around them and all of the sudden you begin to sense, you know, a breath of lust. It's like there's an air of lust that they emit. Okay, there's an air of lust that they emit. That is very, very true. And that is how I learn how to minister to people. Sometimes someone will come around me and all of the sudden an air of fear and aura. This is because they have entertained the spirit of fear so much that if you spend so much time with them, you may actually discover that you become afraid and you don't understand why you're afraid. Have you ever been talking to someone on the phone and all of the sudden you realize you are anxious and you're wondering, why am I having anxiety? You were at peace, but they're not even talking about their anxiety. They're just talking to you. They emanate that, okay? They emanate that. They emanate that around them. And that is emanated around them is because they have unlocked a portal due to repetitive activity. So repetitive activity attracts attracts spirits, okay? Whether spirits in light or spirits in darkness, okay? Repetitive activity. So if you want to, you know, stir up something within your life, you must do it repetitively, okay? That is why what the enemy is fighting is not you starting. The enemy is fighting consistency. Have you realized that the true fight is not the fight of starting? The true fight is the fight of consistency. When you want to see all hell break loose, try and do something consistently. That is when you will know that even 1 hour of prayer is powerful. If you do it consistently, 2 hours of prayer is powerful. Okay, 3 hours of prayer is powerful if you do it consistently. The real warfare is in consistency. Many people may wake up one night and pray, Karabaka Shande Kalabahaliadaskia. The forces in darkness are not moved because they know for the next 3 weeks you won't sustain that fight. Okay, so they will say, let her make noise. We can endure the blows for tonight. In the next 3 days, she will stop. She can't continue. But when you now start to do things consistently, one of the things that will happen is that you will receive what I refer to as feedback. Okay? You guys have lured me to a whole different direction altogether. When you start doing something consistently, what you will receive firstly is what is referred to as feedback. The feedback may be that you are having, okay, you start to pray, and I don't know if you've ever noticed this, it has happened to me. Okay, you pray one night, nothing happens. You just pray one night and you sleep, nothing happens. Then you say, we are going to do this consistently. You pray today, tonight, you pray the second night, you pray the third night, you pray the fourth night, and all of the sudden, you have a dream. The dream is feedback. In the dream, something is trying to chase you, something is trying to hold you on the neck, something is trying to defile you. There is feedback that has come on the account of your consistency. Now, that feedback, if you are spiritually intelligent, is a sign that I should continue, I am making progress. Meanwhile, many people stop because they say, Pastor, every time I pray, I get attacked. Every time I say I'm going to be praying every night at this time, I start receiving attacks. Congratulations, you have just discovered that you are making progress, and that is the feedback. Don't expect the devil to throw you a briar and say, this season, congratulations, we are throwing you a briar. No. What you will receive is feedback. And the reason why feedback is coming is that the enemy knows that if you engage that repetitive activity, what will happen is that you will attract the spirit, okay, of prayer. You may attract the spirit of prayer, the spirit of travail, okay, to the point that you will reach a place where, I don't know if some of you have done that before, where you pray so much at a certain hour that you no longer need an alarm to wake up. Sometimes you are the one that switches off your alarm before it rings. You are the one that switches it off before it rings. Because you have prayed so much at that time, you have attracted the spirit of prayer. Okay, so consistent activity allows for a portal to open. And when that portal opens at 3 a.m., that portal will be knocking at you. You must mark the register. You must mark the register. And all of a sudden, you are awakened at 3 a.m. And you don't even know why you are awake. It's because you did something so much that it created an opening. So repetitive activity is key. The last one in opening portals is called sacrifice. Okay, so sacrifice. Okay, so the sacrifice of prayer, the sacrifice of giving, whichever portal you want to open, okay? If the portal you're looking forward to opening is the one dealing with the windows of heaven, I can assure you, don't obliterate the sacrifice of giving, because some people want to use the wrong key, okay, to open the right door. They will say, no, because some people are still very greedy and tight-fisted. They say, no, I'll just be praying for finances. Sir, let me tell you, stop wasting time. The windows of heaven don't respond like that. If you want to open the gates, yeah, you can pierce through them in prayer. If you want to open the doors, you can pierce through them in prayer. If you want to open the windows, forget doing those things. Okay, in as much as prayer is important in the revelatory sense that it gives you ideas even into where you should sow, how you should sow, where, you know, prayer gives you that. So it plays a part as well. But if you end there, you are in trouble. You will pray. The windows won't respond. And remember, like I said, spiritual things are not sentimental. So you may be saying, Lord, I've been praying for finances. It's not opening up. It doesn't work like that. Okay, they operate by giving. So sacrifice. So sometimes you notice that, oh, I need the windows of heaven to open and swing wide. You may need to sacrifice. And the reason we are calling it sacrifice is that it's painful. Okay? It's painful. It's very, very painful. It's not easy. Okay? It's very, very painful. It's not easy. Next year, I've been saying that I want to do so many projects. I want to do so many big things. You know, and I believe many of you are already part of some of these things. We want to do a big heaven come. We want to do a big marathon. So, and we not just the national one, but before the national one, my heart has been, how can we do marathons just every month? Like, how can we just have marathons every month? That's where my heart has been. We need a lot of big money. And the Lord started to speak to me sacrificially. If you're going to command the windows of heaven to open, you must exercise the law of foundations, which is the law of first fruits. Okay, so as of January 1st salary, I will not touch any of it. That's both myself and my wife's. Okay, we are not touching our salaries. We are giving it away. Okay, that is what we are doing. So she will give a church. I will give where I submit as well. So these are principles to unlock certain portals. So when you see certain provisions within my life next year, don't say, what is happening with Pastor Cham? You know, no. There's a law I have applied. Okay. There is a law I have applied. So it's a painful sacrifice. That's sacrificial. Okay. That's sacrificial. You know, many people say I have sacrificed. Meanwhile, what they mean is that they got part of their income. But if you say you sacrifice and all your incomes are given, it's indeed sacrificial and it's indeed very painful. But that's what, that's what is required to open certain portals. Okay, so sacrifice is key to opening certain portals. Okay, so let me just give you a bit of a teaser and then we may conclude. Okay, so it's very important for you to understand that moving into experiencing the supernatural, Now, it's very, very important to understand, like we've been looking at, that light and revelation is very important in your experience of the supernatural. Okay, light and revelation, or which is revelation still, is very, very important in your experience of the supernatural. It will affect everything that you do. Okay, it will even affect your language. If you are lacking light in an area, it also affects your language, how you speak, how you, you know, you refer to certain things. For example, in the Old Testament dispensation had no proper revelation of the devil. Okay, the Old Testament dispensation had no proper revelation of the devil. So they believed that in the Old Testament, they believed that, you know, every spirit is from God. Every spirit is from the Lord. That is why you will find statements like these in the Old Testament. An evil spirit from the Lord. Okay, I don't know if you've read that before. Okay, I don't know if you've ever read that one before. If you've not, it's a good place to start your Bible study. Okay, you will hear statements like an angel of death from the Lord. Okay, so many times we assume that, oh, God has got an angel of death that is moving. Okay, so because there was very little understanding concerning the revelation of the devil, every spirit in the Old Testament was, you know, assumed to have come from the Lord. So even their language was affected on the account of their revelation. Okay. What you confess, okay, is also hinging on the revelation that you have. That is why light is very, very important, even in your experience of the supernatural. So if you have not understood divine health, now, for example, it's okay to confess, I can never get sick, okay? I believe in healing. I will be divinely healed. I experience divine healing. I experience divine healing, okay? I experience divine healing. That is a layer of revelation, okay? And based on that, because you see, remember we said the God you know is the God you show. The level of experience you have, the level of revelation you have determines the level of experience you will have in God. So revelation is key, okay? Revelations are like keys. Lights are like keys. So when you shift in revelation, your experience changes. So that is why you will find that different people are experiencing different things because they are different levels of revelation. They have different keys. So meanwhile, Wallace, your friend can open a key to another experience. You may find you don't have the revelation. So you can't open the key to that experience. Okay, it's very, very important for you to actually understand that. Very, very important for you to understand that. So revelations are like keys. So someone may be saying something like, you know, I will be divinely healed. You know, I will receive divine healing. I will be receiving divine. They are making that declaration. So the level of revelation they are at is the level whereby, you know, because when you say, I will be divinely healed. I get divinely healed. What you are meaning is that you get sick. Okay. And then you get divinely healed. So you can get sick, but then you believe that there is divine healing to help you. However, there are people that have shifted to a different dimension, okay, of revelation. They are no longer talking about, I get divinely healed. I will be divinely healed. They are talking about, I walk in divine health. Divine health is that I don't get sick even, okay, because they have come to Mount Zion. So because of the revelation they have, the declarations they make and the experience they have changes. When you have come to, if you have come to Mount Zion, what declarations do you think you'll be making? Do you think God is in heaven saying, I can never be poor, as powerful as that is? Okay, I encourage us to make that declarations. But do you think God is in heaven saying, I can never be poor? No. Okay, because you find that as you begin to up your revelation game, your experience also begins to change. So you may find instead of saying, I can never be poor, I can never, you just say, I walk in divine provision. I am always, you know, because you have come to a higher layer, a new texture of revelation, okay? So many of you need to ascend to Mount Zion because you are still making declarations from the earth. Okay, can we have an example of a declaration from the earth? Okay. Let me leave that. Can we have a declaration that is showing that you are still on the earth? Okay, those that are in Mount Zion, there are certain declarations that they are making. Okay, there are certain declarations that they make that are different from all of us. Okay, no one wants to answer that one. Anyway, let's move on. I can never be poor. I will never suffer as long as God owns. in saying this, I want you to know that everyone making these declarations is not wrong. I make them sometimes. I've made them back to back. It just entails that you are at a certain layer of revelation and it's right at that layer, okay? But then you find that when you catch light concerning a different layer of revelation, even your declarations change. And the reason why I can never borrow, okay? In Mount Zion, there's divine provision. Gabriel, now what about 50? When is next? You know, imagine Gabriel is telling, you know, you arrive in heaven. Gabriel, now what? Gabi, now what about 50? We are sakamana and kawesha, ndabwesha in it. No, okay, because you are in Mount Zion. Okay, so some of you need to catch light concerning Mount Zion type of declarations. What do you think is being made as declaration in Zion, and that becomes your lifestyle? And when you start living like that, sometimes people will begin to think you are proud. Okay? People will begin to think you are proud because while they are saying, I can never be poor, you are saying, for me, I walk in divine provision. I walk in divine provision. Okay? Because you have arrived at a different layer. And when people also are at that layer, don't, you know, think they are wrong. They are just at a certain layer of revelation. And so sometimes even when someone is teaching and that's the declaration they make, don't bash them merely because you've ascended to a greater layer of revelation. Sometimes I see people in church, you know, saying things and I'm like, that's a layer of revelation. Some people will say things like, you remember the song, "You are the Lord, that is your name. You will never share glory with any man." That is a layer of revelation. If you read properly in the scriptures, you will discover that he actually decides to share the glory, okay, with his beloved. You know, that's another layer of revelation. Amen. So there are distinctions and different types of layers of revelation in God. For example, there is a layer of revelation that the children of Israel had, those that were in the those that were in Egypt, okay? Those that were in Egypt, they had a layer of revelation whilst in Egypt. So when they are now free and they are in the wilderness, how long were they in the wilderness? Is it 40 years? Okay? They are now liberated from Egyptian captivity. Okay? They are now in the wilderness. Do you know that there were people that were born in the wilderness? Okay? There were people that were born in the wilderness. Now, those who came from Egypt are saying, I will never go back again. I will never go back again. But if you were born in the wilderness, you have no declaration of, I will never go back again. That is why you must understand, I think my internet is bad. Praise the Lord. I'm being told I don't have internet. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay, I don't even know if I'm audible. The microphone is still on. Can you hear me? Okay, great. Can you hear me now? Okay. Thank you so much. I think we had, so I was saying that there are different layers of revelation. So there were people that were in Egypt, okay? They moved from Egypt into the wilderness. And so those guys, and then there were people that were born in the wilderness. So those that were coming from Egypt into the wilderness, they could make declarations like, I can never go back. I will never go back. Meanwhile, there are people that were born in the wilderness. they don't know what slavery means. So they are not making declarations saying, I will never go back. They were born in freedom. Okay? They were typically born in freedom. Now, that is why when we come in Christ, we are not a refurbished creation. You know how some of you have got refurbished iPhones? May God deliver you. You know, you have a refurbished iPhone. They are not that. When you are in Christ, you are a new creation. They didn't just do something. It's a new creation altogether. That is why there are certain declarations. You know, when people are trying to remind you and say, you're Egyptian, like, you are a new creation. You are not a refurbished one. You are a new creation, a totally new creation. Okay? Totally new creation. So your layer of revelation must align to the fact that you are a new creation. Anyway, in experiencing the supernatural, it's very, very important to understand that in experiencing the supernatural, knowledge is not power in court. Okay? Knowledge is not power in court. Knowledge is potential power. Let me redefine it. Knowledge is not power in court. Knowledge is potential power. Because if you never practice what you know, no matter how much you know, no matter how much you have learned, you will never experience what you have learned. Now, we are having a generation of people that know so much but have not practiced what they know. Hence, they have potential to move into the supernatural, but they can't move into the supernatural because they have not practiced the things they have been learning. So learning about the realm of the supernatural is frustrating when you don't see the manifestation. I don't know how you process things, but I have discovered that there are certain people who have been hearing about the supernatural. For example, in this particular revival seminar, we are consistently hearing about the supernatural. We are consistently hearing about the supernatural. But here's the thing. When you hear so much of the supernatural and you don't experience it, it will lead to frustration. Okay? Because as you are hearing it, it's like it's all there, but you can't experience it. You can't touch it. You can hear about the supernatural, and it's like it's just there, but then you can't experience it. It becomes very frustrating. At some point, I began to wonder how that certain people would experience God so easily and freely, yet for me, the supernatural seemed to be very far from my life. How are people experiencing this thing, yet I'm not experiencing it? I would usually question, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? You know, I had so many impartations, I'd read so many books, but I discovered the supernatural was still far from me. I didn't know that I needed to bring that potential power to practice. Okay, so for tonight, because my energy levels are really pathetic today, I thought the freeze it would do, but it's done nothing. it's done nothing. Okay, so let me give you a few practical keys to experiencing the supernatural. Okay? Let me give you a few practical keys to experiencing the supernatural, okay, so that you can start moving in it. Number one, believe you have the right to experience the supernatural. Number one, you must believe that you have the right to experience the supernatural. You must believe that you have the right. John 3:5, Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you that no one can enter the kingdom of heaven unless they are born again of water and of spirit." And if you read in John 3 also, he also says no one can see, okay, the kingdom. I think it must be this very one in another version. No one can see the kingdom unless they are born again. The implication is that if you are born again, you can actually see. Let me say it again. No one can see the kingdom. No one can enter. No one can experience it unless they are born again. So the implication is that if you are born again, you can actually see. So your understanding of the fact that you have every right to experience the supernatural begins your journey into the spirit realm. That is where we begin from. You must understand that you have the right. Many of you are behaving like a side chick that does not have total and full rights of the house. You just feel like, no, we can just meet Kumaloji, we can just meet Kumashan. No. You must believe that you have the rights. You are not a side chick in the kingdom. You are a child of God. And because you are born again, you can experience the kingdom. You are entitled to experiencing the kingdom. Okay? You are entitled to experiencing the spirit realm. Many people disqualify themselves even before they begin their journey in the supernatural. They believe the supernatural is a mere reserve for a certain group of people. They feel there's a certain group of people that should experience the supernatural. I am not part of that group. They just feel I am not part of that group. So the first key into experiencing the supernatural is that you must believe you have the right to experience. That will change your narrative. It will change everything about you when you believe I have the right. Okay? One of the things I used to do is that I used to make declarations. Okay? I used to make declarations every time. I see in the spirit. I have the right to hear in the spirit. I perceive in the spirit. I walk in the spirit. The visionary realm is open to me. When I go to bed, God shows me prophetic dreams. I am open to the supernatural. I see in the spirit. I hear in the spirit. I walk in light. I walk in the supernatural. I would make such declarations until my spirit begins to resonate and come into agreement with the things of which I am declaring. Some of you, the declarations you make are so sad. Okay? You must declare as though, you know, you must declare the things of which you actually want to start seeing in your life. I hear in the spirit. I see in the spirit. My senses are aligned to pick messages from God. Oh, Rahadahaskia. My senses are aligned. My ears are aligned. My eyes are aligned. Praise the name of the Lord. You must make those declarations. Okay, that is important for tomorrow's session. Number two, you must believe what you see and hear. You must believe what you see and hear. Now, let me explain this part, because there are many of you that say, I don't see. It's a lie. It's a lie. Many of you say, no, Pastor, me, I don't see. It's a lie. You just don't believe what you see and hear. You can't be a child of God, a believer, and worse off if you even speak in tongues, and you say you don't see anything, you don't hear anything. No, it's a lie. You have just not been taught that what is happening is that you are hearing, and what is happening is that you are seeing. Especially the seeing thing. People have not been taught. Firstly, let me do a basic one for hearing. If you've ever been in a place where you are seated and you are about to go to bed and you remember you have not prayed, congratulations, you have just heard the Holy Spirit. You have just heard the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been in a place where you are about to do something and a message comes? Congratulations. Maybe the message is Pastor Cham speaking. He just shares something and you're like, ah. You know, maybe you're planning to date a non-believer and all of a sudden that day Pastor Cham is just attacking non-believers. Congratulations. You have heard the Holy Ghost. Okay? Because it's important to understand that the Holy Spirit doesn't just speak. He communicates. So in communication, he can speak audibly. He can communicate in other spheres as well. It's very, very important for you to understand that. So you must believe that. You must believe what you hear and what you see. Because every new reality you come into feels like you are making it up at the beginning. You know, when I started seeing visions, I used to think it's just my imagination sometimes. So I would wonder, because for me, I'd be saying, The supernatural is simple. The reason, the only challenge is that we've so mystified the supernatural that many of us feel that when we see a vision, I know there are visions like that, but you must accept the reality that God shows you. And in fact, the ones that come with flashes of light, lights and stuff, many, they are not so many. Much of what you'll be seeing are just, it'll be just like day to day. I don't know how I can explain this, but the way visions are, you know, visions are like, you will see something and you may even feel, I was just imagining that thing. I remember how that the word of knowledge started becoming very active and alive in my life. Sometimes something will just flash before my imagination and mind, because the imagination is the screen of your mind, screen of your heart. And sometimes something will just flash and I'm like, oh Lord, if it was just that easy. You know, another thing would come, oh, someone who have a right, you know, right knee problem. And I'm like, Lord, is it that easy? Is this how people see visions? For me, I'm expecting that visions should be difficult. Sometimes I'm just seated and all of a sudden, you know, an image of a hospital flashes before my eyes. All of a sudden, an image of an individual also comes. And it feels like all these things are in my imagination. I'm like, Lord, is it this easy? No, it can't be. Because I felt, because, you know, I, number one, I disqualified myself. Number two, I wasn't believing that that's how a vision could actually be. Sometimes it would just be, you know, images imparted on my spirit. And all of a sudden, they're just so strong on my spirit. I'm like, Lord, it can't be this. Are you telling me it's this easy? You know, I tell me it's this easy. Sometimes, sometimes, because you see, there are different types of visions. Some are open visions. So what many of you are looking for are like open visions. But then they are like closed visions where either your eyes are closed or they are more like imparted on your spirit. So I don't know if you've ever been like that, where it's like a certain imagery is just imparted. For example, let me share a vision I once had, okay? In church. Well, I've had many of that sort, but the more recent one I had in church, I didn't have an open vision where my eyes were opening and I was seeing this thing. But as I was coming into church, all of a sudden, an image was imparted on my spirit, like a strong image was imparted on my spirit. I knew it wasn't something that I saw, you know, on TV, and it was coming from the things that the English is running away from me. And this happens when I'm fasting. You know, my brain sometimes starts to get foggy. Okay, the images I interacted with, okay? Yes, thank you so much, Inonge. It wasn't the images I was interacting with in the natural, okay? It just came imparted strong on my heart. I didn't know why. It was just imparted on my heart. And all of a sudden, I saw like fires. Like I saw fires on, you know, on one side and fires on, torches on this side, torches on this side. The ones on this side, which was like the past, they were all off. Then the ones, you know, in the future had the potential to be lit. And so the person standing in the middle had a torch that was lit. And then the interpretation was that they can't light up the fires in the past because that is gone, but they have the responsibility of lighting up the fires in the future. So the person went and they started lighting up the fires in the future. And when I said that, when I gave that vision, some of you may actually start going tripping to heaven tonight. And when I saw that vision, you know, and I declared it, the power of God hit the building. It was that simple, but it was just an image imparted in my spirit. It was just there. You must believe that. Why is it that you believe so much that, you must believe that what you hear and what you see is from the spirit. You must believe that your faculties belong to God. Every faculty of my being is fine-tuned to respond to God. I want you to make this declaration with me. Every faculty of my being is fine-tuned to hear God. My ears hear God. My eyes see God. Every part of who I am, my spirit, my soul, and my body, they are fine-tuned to respond to the vibrations, the signals of heaven. Praise the name of the Lord. Okay, you must believe that. Why is it that you believe so much that the devil speaks to you, but you don't believe that God speaks to you? Why is it that why people believe that so much? You know, no, the devil was just whispering in my ears, telling me that I should jump. Why? Every faculty of my being is fine-tuned to God. You know, I used to wonder, these people that hear God, what type of people are they? The ones that come and say, someone comes and they're ministering. There's someone in the building, you know, you have this challenge. There's someone in this. I said, what prayers do these people pray? What fastings do they fast that I've not fasted? Because I was a fasting machine at that time. What fasting do they do? What prayers do they do for them to hear God like this? Then I realized that they just believe that every faculty of their being belongs to God. And when they hear it, they respond. When they see it, they say it. Okay. Ah. And when that, you know, came into my spirit, all of the sudden, I began to experience the supernatural. Some of the classes I attended in heaven, I discovered that some of the classes I would attend would be like strong imageries imparted on my spirit. Because the like strong imageries, all of the sudden it would just flash like infused knowledge. Fwah! In a split second, like infused knowledge. And all of the sudden, I have detailed explanations of things that happened in that realm. And, you know, the only limitation I'm having is language, okay, right now. But I want you to pick my heart. It would just be like a flash. And I have it as infused knowledge, the vision. I can explain to you where I went, how I went there. I can literally explain it. And my imagination can even embrace that imagery that was imparted. What is that called? It's called a vision. Okay? It's called a vision. The boundaries between the spirit realm is, let me tell you this, the boundary was not between you and God. It was all in your head. The boundary is not between, God has blurred every boundary by giving us Jesus. So there's nothing more he's doing. He's blurred every boundary. Every boundary has been blurred out. So the boundary is not between you and God. The boundary is between you and your mind. When your mind receives renewal, you become a walking tank of the super. You can't say you pray in tongues and you don't see visions. No, it's not possible. You have just not learned to believe that you see and you hear. You've not learned to believe what you are seeing and what you are hearing. Picking frequencies from God. Some of you, you can even, as you close your eyes, you will notice that the Lord will begin to speak to you. Okay, the Lord will begin to show you imageries. Some of you, it will be very vague, you know, very vague, but you will pick something. Okay, you pick something, you write it down, then you'll be curious. Lord, okay, I saw a lady, because like right now, I saw a lady in red, you know, taking, you know, like medication, dressed in red, but taking medication. So now the next part is I may need to inquire, Lord, is it the people I'm ministering to? What is going on? Is it what is really going on? The person is dressed in red, like a red dress. So they are taking medication. So the next step is that you begin to inquire. Okay, you begin to make an inquiry. Okay, what imagery is this? What is this thing that you are showing me? And another image, if you inquire a little longer, will flash. And before you know it, as you begin to be, because what gives clarity to vision is believing that the visions you are seeing are from God. So the more you begin to believe them, the more clarity. It's like believing gives clarity to the visionary realm. So all of a sudden, the images will become clear. You can even see the face of the person. You will start to see everything with clarity. Ooh, Pahalahasia. Praise the name of the Lord. So, that's that on the visionary realm. Then the third way is you must practice the supernatural frequently. practice. I guess we'll talk about this practicing thing tomorrow. My energy is saying no. I can't go further. My energy levels are saying no, 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 no. I should have been making that lemon tea, but I don't have lemon. The one I used to take when I'm drowning. I'll end here, but then you must understand that you perfect your senses, you refine them by consistently exercising them. So practicing the supernatural frequently. You will never know you are becoming accurate until you test out the visions you are seeing. Okay, so some of you just have knowledge, which is potential power. You have not put it in a state that it will work for you. So you must practice. So tomorrow, I will teach you how to step in, step out, step in, step out, step in, step out, and experience the realm of God's kingdom. So I'll talk about the spirit realm. I'll also talk about the kingdom realm of God, how those are different, how you can engage the kingdom realm of God, step into the kingdom realm of God. We'll throw in the courts of heaven, which I've been throwing in every now and then in almost every seminar. The courts of heaven, go there, you know, present your case there. I will teach you how to go into rooms in heaven and pick up things from there. Yeah, you will see this thing. Okay? You will see this thing. There are rooms in heaven. You can, and you know, because I know many of you are waiting for this session tomorrow. Many of you, what would disqualify you from experiencing it is you have mystified it. You have already mystified it. You have already, so we already, today I'm already telling you that the supernatural is easy. Some of you are already mystifying it in your head. It will be simple. Okay? You are supernatural. You are supernatural. Your faculties are supernatural. Okay? You are supernatural. Man was the only being created to be transdimensional. Anyway, we'll look at that tomorrow. So, okay, I'll definitely record it. You can practice it later for those that will be away. So, let me cut off the recording. In Jesus' name, amen.